In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There is one time that we hear God mentioned in the news, and that's when there is a disaster, a hurricane, a tornado, a tsunami, some kind of unimaginable and virtually unpredictable disaster that strikes into our lives out of nowhere. That must be God. Everything else we can account for, everything else we can understand, everything else we can take for granted. We deserve the lives that we've had. Those who don't have lives as good as us, they probably are getting what they deserve too. Everything is kind of moving along the way it ought to move along. Science explains almost everything. The origins of religion, we are sure, come from those few things that people have not been able to explain. In the olden days, they didn't understand how the world worked the way we do now, and so they came up with explanations that went beyond our understanding, beyond our reason. And a lot of people think that way today. And if that's how we think, then we have taken everything that God has created, including ourselves, all of our capacities and our abilities, and the things that have happened to us to bring us to where we are. We have taken all of these things for granted. They are the norm. They are the things that we don't need to thank God for because they're there. We want to go and pray for the few things that we might not have or ask Him not to send disasters. But other than that, things are pretty much okay most of the time. And if they're not, well, then that's an act of God. This is a very strange way to think, especially if we happen to be a Christian. The reality of things are that this world that we live in, and the universe, and all of the beautiful things of this world, they are an act of God. God's creation, it is an act of God. We human beings, you and I, and all of those that we meet every day, all of us are acts of God. There is no way of explaining what we are in terms of the world that we take for granted. Even the world itself can't be explained in that kind of way. We think science has done a lot to bring things to the point that we don't understand things in this way, that the world is an act of God. We think that science is always coming up with explanations for things, and maybe that's the reason that we're not more aware. But the fact of the matter is that this way of taking all things for granted, as though we deserved our place in the world and all of the things that we have, and that we deserve a good and happy life. That way of understanding life is much older than science. It's not science that gives rise to the idea that we can explain everything and account for it so that we don't have to be grateful for it, so that we can take it for granted. That way of understanding things comes not from science, but from the ungrateful and prideful human heart. That's the reason that we take all things for granted. God has given us the people in our lives. We have the people in our lives that we need to have in our lives. They are gifts of God to us because they are the ones that we needed. Sometimes I hear, and it is very painful to hear, people say things like, I wish that I had a different wife, a different husband, a better friend, someone who is more what I need. And of course, if that's the way we think, we're not thinking in terms of other human beings anymore. We're thinking in terms of human beings as possessions to serve us. And the one that we have is inadequate. And the reason, of course, is that we are not any longer married to that person or being a friend to that person. We are using that husband, that wife, that friend, those children as accoutrements to our lives, little additional things. Gee, I wish I had a better television. I wish I had a better sort of person in my life that would treat me the way I deserve. That is a condition of the human heart. The way we take all of the life that God has given us and all of the good and enjoyable experiences of life that He has given us and assume that they are just the norm, and any change from that, that's what God has to account for. We ask Him for the additional things. We don't thank Him for our life, our world, those people around us. Those things are not given to us because we deserve them. They are not given to us because we are good. They are given to us because God is good. God, we hear in Scripture, shines down upon the good and the evil. He rains His grace equally upon the just and the unjust. And those of us who flourish need not think that we deserve what we have received. We have received the things that we have received, including our life itself, because God is good. And He showers His goodness upon all of us. God is compassionate. We're told that He will never give us more than we can stand. Of course, we don't know how much we can stand. We don't know how much we need to be stretched beyond our comfort zone, but God knows. And when that point comes, the point beyond which we cannot bear, God will come to us and He will relieve us. Our part is not to decide that we deserve better before we get to that point and give up the gift of being able to continue to live our lives. Not give up in despair because we have borne enough. We deserve better. We are blind to the gifts that God has given us. Our lack of gratitude, taking all things for granted and expecting more because we deserve it. This is the influence, according to St. Paul, of the God of this world, the devil. He will convince us that we deserve all the things that we have, that we have earned them. God has not helped us very much. We got to do the best that we could. We can hear the devil's spiritual way of life in that attitude. He makes us blind and unaware, makes us unable to see the bounty of life that God has given us, takes gratitude out of our heart. This is the influence of the evil one. And when we live like this, we are living along with him, his vision of life. We are asleep to the reality of our actual life that God has given us, and the fact that we owe all things to him. In the story of the widow of Nain, Jesus comes to this woman. She happens to cross his path. She is not a person of faith. She doesn't believe in him. He doesn't ask her, what is your belief? There is no previous relationship necessarily between her and God, except for the fact that God has a relationship to all of us as his created beings and loves us and is compassionate. And Jesus sees this woman whose only son is being carried out. She has no one to help her, no one to give her the means of life. And we can imagine easily what it may have been like before, when her son was living and her husband was living. How is it between a husband and wife who live long enough together to have a grown son? We're not always pleased with one another. We're not always grateful to God for one another. How many times do we thank God that he has given us this man, given us this woman, rather than treating that person as a possession and looking elsewhere to see if there is something else that we might not possess, rather than this inadequate husband or this inadequate wife? Not dealing with them as the miracle of another human being that God has given to us, the one that God chose, the one that we needed to be together with. That is the way of marriage. It is a spiritual discipline, a spiritual way of life. And so we can imagine a married life between this man and this woman who, unbeknownst to themselves, soon will be one of them all alone. They argue. They disagree. They are not grateful for one another. The woman feels as though her life is a burden. Why should she have to work so hard? Why should she have to take care of this ungrateful husband who doesn't treat her with the kindness and compassion and love of someone that he is devoted to, as he promised that he would? Why does she have to take care of this son, has already raised him up from an infant, carried him within her body, and then raised him to the point in his life where he has become all too much like his own father, a burden to live with? And then something happens. The husband dies. Ah, an act of God. Something terrible. It must be God. Everything was going along okay. All of a sudden, things don't seem quite as bad as they did when the man was living and they were having this disagreeable and ungrateful life together. And now she's not only lost her husband, she has this son to continue to take care of. And things go along. Lack of gratitude, pity for oneself because God has taken the breadwinner. And then one horrible day, the son dies. Ah, another act of God, another terrible thing to wail to the heavens that God has done this horrible thing. Then, as her son is being carried out to the graveyard, Jesus comes. God sees the woman. He knows her. God knows all of us. He sees us and he knows us, everyone. Knows the situation in our lives. Knows why he has placed us together. The friends and the members of the parish of St. Timothy Orthodox Church, why he has brought us together. The husbands and the wives. He knows the life that we could possibly lead if we lived our lives in cooperation with him. And he also sees how we actually live those lives. And so he sees this woman, and he knows her history, he knows her past, he knows her present, and he knows that she has reached the point that she can bear no more, as far as how far life has stretched her toward being what she needs to be. God uses adversity, difficulty, disease, and all of the hard things that we live through in order to stretch us spiritually toward what we should be. And then he comes and he is compassionate with us, as Jesus Christ is compassionate with this woman. Not because she is good, not because she deserves it, but because he is good and he is compassionate. And Jesus raises this young man from the dead. Young man, I say, arise. And the young man arises, and the joy of his mother is beyond imagination. Now, she had this young man. How is it different? Now she has him again. She has been through losing him and has had him restored to her. But her situation, isn't it the same? It is the same, except for what is going on in her heart. Now she has the joy of gratitude. Her son, who was lost to her, who had died, leaving her alone, is restored to her. The joy and the gratitude that she has at having him now, it ought to have been there before he died. The creation of the world, of each one of us, and all that we have, those that are in our lives, they are all good and holy acts of God. And we don't gain the benefit of them, not because of things that happen in the world of a negative nature that we want to call acts of God. We don't gain the benefit of them because of the condition of our heart. This woman's heart was transformed by being stretched to the limit, and then God having compassion on her and restoring her situation to exactly what it had been before the young man died. And the transformation is incredible. The fact of the matter is, it's not necessary for us to lose so much as this woman did in order for the eyes of the heart to be awakened. All that is necessary when it comes to death is the death of that devilish one, that make-believe counterfeit of ourselves that we believe in, inside of ourselves. He has to be put to death. The one who believes that what we have is what we deserve, and that we deserve more. The one who lives in sympathy with all of the things of the world. If his life ends, if we repent of living that imaginary kind of life where, you know, as they used to say sometimes, we're born on third base and thought we got there because we deserved it, because we hit a triple. Our life is good. I've deserved it. I'm here. Things are the way they are. I must deserve it. The fact of the matter is, if we look back through our lives, after we reach a certain point in our life and things aren't so bad, we have a habit of forgetting all of those unaccountable and uncontrollable events and things that happened, without which it would have been impossible for things to be as good as they are. And what are those? Those were acts of God. Those were acts of God's compassion. God has given us the situation that we have now that is so much better than it could be. We're on third and looking at home because God has dealt compassionately with us at 100 million different points along the line. Things could have gone differently, and it was God who chose to bless us with all that brought us to this point. We've got to get rid of this attitude that we deserve the good lives that we have. For this woman, it was necessary for her son to die and arise. But a son has died and arisen. The Son of God has died and arisen. And if we are willing to die to that selfish self within us, we can arise, and our hearts can be changed, and we can glorify God, and give soul-warming thanksgiving to Him for the world that He has made for us to live in, for the beauty that surrounds us, for the way He has blessed us with all of the people in our lives, not just the things that we have, but for all the people in our lives that He has blessed us with, without whom we would not have been able to return to Him. And especially, we must thank Him for coming into the world and giving His own life so that we would know how to give our lives, the lives that are bound to the world, and awaken to give praise to Him and glorify Him for all of the goodness of our lives, all of these countless acts of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.